Good morning to all of you. Right. So first question, why do we say good morning? Why do we say good morning to each other? Even if it's a rainy day, a very hot day sometimes. But when you meet each other, you say good morning. Okay. Most of the people are not able to answer the question, but good morning means my morning is good because of you. Right? My morning is good because of you. But today, we have something much more better. A morning is good because of the Lord. Right? Now, you know, Bible and science, that's my topic which Brother Matthew Koshy gave me. And I tried to prepare, you know, certain facts and try to relate from scripture. But before that, you know, as teenagers, I think I got saved during my end of my teenage, around 17 or 18. 17 plus. And one of the things which is very important, knowledge of the Bible or knowledge of science is not so important as much as a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, when you just think about your own spiritual life, just think about your own, you know, going to the assembly, attending, is it a big burden on your head? Do you think, oh, you know, now mommy, daddy is saying we have to go and others are enjoying so much in the world, you know. So, I have realized in my little walk with the Lord how one should have a life to rejoice in the Lord, you know, rejoice in the Lord and be His witness, you know. Take every opportunity to witness. Whether it is your testimony, whether it is your work, whether it is science, any discussions, your neighbors, every opportunity to witness. Now, before we actually start seeing the slides, I would like to share my testimony. And I was born, like brother said, in a Gujarati Hindu family. And I was born and brought up in Bombay, in Santa Cruz East. My mother was a very religious Hindu lady, and she taught me the way to worship in the Hindu fashion right from childhood. And since the beginning, I never had any doubt about God's existence. Deep down in my heart, I always felt that God exists. And to be honest, I was not concerned to know who the true God is. I was just satisfied with that basic knowledge. And my mom had taught me how to, you know, we had a small temple in our house. So, I would do the puja twice after bath before going to sleep. And, you know, time passed on. When I reached my class 8, somehow, I don't know why, I became more religious. And, you know, a struggle started within me. And the struggle was, how can I be pure from inside? And the reason that the struggle started was whenever I would close my eyes and start praying, I would start feeling that one God is seeing me. And He's seeing my heart. And I could understand that my thoughts are not pure. I could understand that there is evil within myself which nobody else can see. I was a very good student. I was very well accepted in my family, my extended family. People used to love me. But somehow, this struggle I could not tell anybody, you know. I mean, who would go and, you know, tell that, you know, I want to be pure from inside. Somebody will say, you're a fool. So, that struggle started, it continued to increase till class 10th. I would try my own methods. I would fight with my thoughts. I would, you know, just stop drinking tea for 1 year, thinking this will please God. I would not look at the TV screen for 2 years, you know. I thought all evil comes from outside. But as more the struggle continued to increase, I realized the evil is not more outside, it is more inside. You know, and that's what the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. You know, it's not the food which goes from out to in which defiles you, but that which comes from within defiles you. For from within the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, thefts, adulteries, fornication, envy, all those lists the Lord gave. So I realized that evil is inside. Now in that process, I had a great desire And it was like my life's idol. You people understand what the word idol is, right? Idol of my life. It was that I should get IIT Bombay. You know, somehow I should get cleared in the JEE of IIT Bombay. And I was working very hard, very hard. I would study for 15 hours, sometime even I would touch 18 hours. And that was my dream. And so, in that process, in that 2 years, around class 10th, a friend of mine, he was a Punjabi, he told me, "Deepak, why don't you come to the church, Catholic church, in Mahim?" I said, "Why? What difference does it make if I go to temple?" And he also was a Hindu fellow, you know. But he, you know, he used to go to these Wednesday church meetings at St. Michael's Church in Mahim. Anybody heard of it? St. Michael's Church? Okay. So, it's a very famous church and all, you know, people from all faiths go there. And he sort of put a little pressure on me. "Why don't you come?" So, I said, okay. And it was a Wednesday. They have meetings only on Wednesdays. And they are dedicated to Mother Mary and you have to go there, sit for half an hour, you know, they sing songs, the priest comes and gives a 10-minute message. I liked it, you know. One thing I liked was I can go with my shoes on, because in temple we have to remove our chappals and shoes and be worried if somebody will pick them up. So, well, that was one thing which attracted me, and it was very clean, you know, very neat and clean. So, and the other thing they said was, if you attend 9 Wednesdays at a stretch, you mean, you understand at a stretch, right? That means 1, 2, 3, 4, like two and a half months. And if you don't break any Wednesday, you will get whatever you want. So, that was very impressive to me. You know, and I started going. I never had any specific request, but I attended for, they said, you know, 9 Wednesdays, I attended 104 Wednesdays. I broke only one because I had a nasal operation. And in that process, my faith, you know, towards Jesus and Mary increased. That is how it was. I mean, that was my stepping stone. And finally, I thought, you know, I've been so religious. I've been going so, you know, faithfully to these church meetings, novena services. God will surely give what I want. You know. And then the results came out. I did not get IIT. It was a big blow. You know, I worked so hard and I did not get IIT. It was a real blow and I didn't know whom to turn to. You know, my parents wouldn't understand, and but somehow, you know, I prayed when the results came out, you know, to that God, right? I said, and I prayed to whatever I was believing after going to the church, that please give me at least, you know, a rank in the merit list, so my face is saved, right? Now, supposing you are working very hard for an exam and you fail, how can you show your face, right? People are going to say, "Oh, you just made a show," or, you know, "You are really a duffer. You studied so much." And in North they say ghissu. You know, ghissu. Ghissu means you keep on writing, you keep on rubbing your pen. Pen ghisna. But finally, you are a dumb head. So I was very much, you know, fearful of this situation. I'm sure you would have gone through that. So, and, you know, lo and behold, I got a merit list rank. I was in Ruparel. So that sort of, you know, saved my basic faith in God. Or else it would have been shattered at that time. And so I, you know, took more courage. I said, okay, God does hear prayers. But, you know, I did not get any college in Bombay. It was so surprising. Though I was a merit list holder, I could not get VJTI. There were other colleges which I was getting, but I didn't want to go. I wanted electronics, you know, crazy like everybody else. Those days it was electronics. So I also wanted electronics. And I wanted in a good college. So, I had two options now. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because this is how the Lord led me to Him, you know. And so you never know when you go through failures also, you're probably on the path of God. You know, God is taking you somewhere. So, I had two options. One was BITS Pilani, and the second one was University of Roorkee. Now, University of Roorkee, I was getting chemical engineering. And Pilani, I was getting mechanical engineering. So, both I didn't want. So my dad and I, we started, you know, on a journey, I think in July 1986. And we first went to Pilani, went to Delhi, took a bus to Pilani, and they said, "You pay your fees and, you know, you'll get upgraded automatically." But we didn't trust them. I mean, 5,000 rupees those days was quite a lot of money. So, and, you know, we were not very rich people. So we said, okay, forget it. I was, you know, very disappointed. I told my dad, let's go to Roorkee. I'll take admission there. But in the meanwhile, you know, when we, just before we started the journey, we got a letter saying I was upgraded to electronics in Roorkee. But I'd never heard of Roorkee as such. I did give the exam because a friend of mine said, anybody who appears for IIT also appears for Roorkee. You know. So I had appeared. I had not prepared for it. And so then I went to Roorkee. I got, you know, admitted. I, you know, started my classes. But I was very disappointed, you know, thinking I need to go back to Bombay. How can I leave all that, you know, fun and the dreams I had of my life? So, nowadays it's banned, but those days we had ragging period. You understand ragging, right? Has anybody been ragged before? No? Okay. In ragging, the seniors would rag you, you know, they'll say, okay, you know, become a hen. So you become a hen. And normally when a person tries to become a hen, he becomes a cock. You know? So, I mean, there are two different postures. Then if you become a cock, he says, okay, lay an egg. So they will trouble you all these ways. They'll say, okay, you run, you go and say that to that person. And sometimes it's very vulgar also. And I had this problem because I could not, you know, adjust to vulgarity because of my faith in God. You know, God had started working in my life. I wouldn't want to compromise. They would say, okay, you know, look at this magazine. You know, it would be a pornographic magazine. I would say, no, I won't do that. And they would, you know, shout at me. And later on, they'll be nice to you. They'll take you for a bun omelette and a milkshake and all that. So in all that process, you know, in my campus, I saw a church. It was an old British church. And I asked one senior, he said, no, this is a haunted place, don't go there. So it was all old and, you know, a lot of shrubs and all growing there, wild shrubs. So then in the second case, this ragging goes on for a whole month. It ends only on 15th August when India became independent. So then, you know, they make you independent. So another case, I was going with one Sardarji, he was my senior, and they used to call him Tilta Singh. Because, you know, he used to have one of those, he didn't have a big turban like Dr. Manmohan Singh. He used to have a single one and it used to be tilted always. So they used to call him Tilta Singh. So I asked Tilta Singh, sir, when does this church open? He said, Sunday 9 o'clock it opens. And he was a nice man, you know, he said, yeah, Sunday 9 o'clock. I felt very, you know, at home. So moment we got independent after 15th August, just after that I went to that church. You know, it was an old British church, not as big as St. Michael's in Mahim. And there was a, you know, small group of, I think it was, I mean, now I know there were students. It was an EU meeting, evangelistic union meeting. The student groups working in various campuses. So I went and sat behind and, you know, they had a songbook. I just flipped the pages and, you know, I saw it was totally different from what I used to see in Mahim, you know. There was no mention of the things I used to pray there. And I wondered whether these people really knew what they were doing. So after the meeting, you know, they met me. There was actually most of them were from Kerala. And they were all my seniors. And I told them, you know, I go to such and such church. And even when I've come to Roorkee, I would like to attend a church. I had already located a temple where I would go. And I wanted a church, you know, to so that my lifestyle continues. They said, okay, you come next Sunday. I said, I want a Bible. They said, okay, you come next Sunday, we'll give you a Bible. So next Sunday I went and they gave me a Bible, a Good News Bible. Have you seen a Good News Bible? It's full of cartoons. So I started reading that. It was an old Bible, but, you know, I enjoyed reading it. And then they said, you know, why don't you come to our Bible study on Wednesdays? So I said, Wednesday? There also, Bombay also Wednesday, Roorkee also Wednesday. There also has to go at 6 p.m. Here also they said at 6 p.m. I said, okay, God wants my Wednesday to be holy, Wednesday evenings to be holy. I said, okay, I will surely come. So I started going. I would always be on time, you know, by 5:55, you know. So initially, you know, when your love is or your desire for the Lord is so pure and so zealous, you'll always be before the meeting. Later on, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you start becoming late. You know, so the Lord told the church of Ephesus, you know, you have left your first love. So anyway, I would reach there and they were studying the epistle of 1 Corinthians. Now, 1st and 2nd Corinthians are not easy epistles, even now, you know. You can ask Brother Koshi, they are not easy epistles. There are a lot of, you know, teaching involved. So you can understand what I would have understood. Just head or tail, I couldn't understand. But you know, they had it was more like an informal Bible study. I think they call it Bible reading. And they would read a portion and, you know, all those six or seven of them would share whatever thoughts they would have. And those thoughts may not be so relevant also. They would say, oh, I think it means like that. So I kept on hearing that, you know, for a number of Wednesdays. And one thing which sort of hit me again and again was the word saved. So that's why I wrote here, saved with saved, right? So that word saved, they would say those who are saved will go to heaven, or those who are saved, this will happen to them. So I was wondering what saved means. And I knew of course what the word saved means in normal English, but the context I was not able to understand. And so one evening, it was 24th September 1986, so there was a senior, Brother George Kuruvilla. He was also in my department, but he was doing his master's and I was doing my bachelor's. And we both came at the same time. I came from Bombay, he came from Mathura. And he was very friendly to me and, you know, I could relate to him. I could share, you know, the struggles I was going through. So, you know, I asked him, Brother George, what does it mean to be saved? And that was the first time I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was in the church atmosphere for such a long time, since probably 1984. And but I never heard the gospel. I mean, I was doing the same things. I would worship the statue of Jesus. I would offer candles. You know, I would do all those things. But yes, one thing surely happened during that 2 years church time in Bombay. I was sure that I'm a sinner. I was sure. Earlier I had doubts. Earlier I had a struggle. But now I was absolutely sure that I was a sinner. You know. And so my struggle for purification increased. There was nobody to explain to me. But, you know, God was dealing with me in His own way. So, when George told me, he told me the gospel that day. He said, Deepak, if you confess in God's presence, you are a sinner. And you repent for your sins. And if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose again. And if you call Him in your heart as your Lord and personal Savior, you also will be saved. You know, a very simple message. Logically, you know, not very believable. But somehow, my heart trusted in it. And I wanted to do something. He just told me I wanted to do something at that very time. Then he said, Deepak, if you want, we can pray right now. You know, so I knelt down with him. He prayed, I followed. And, you know, I was trying to say sorry for every sin I had committed. You know, and in that short time, I was trying to recollect all what I have done. You know, against God, all my sinful behavior. But, you know, in that short span, I could not. I'm sure God forgave everything. The psalmist says, right, my sins are more than the hairs of my head. I still have a lot of hair. So, couldn't imagine I could, you know, recollect every sin. But I believe, as per His promise, that God forgave my sins on that day. And I was washed in the blood of Christ. And my new life started. So it was 24th September 86. And it gives me, you know, a lot of, I feel excited because it's 24th day of the 9th month. And that comes in the scripture in Haggai chapter 2. Where it says, on the 24th day of the 9th month, the foundation of the temple was laid. So I just feel excited that how God is so personal, you know, to each one of us. So after that, I was saved. I had troubles. My mom was very upset. You know, I stopped worshipping the idols. I stopped taking prasad. I realized that, you know, this is not of God. It's rather, that like the Bible says, whatever the Gentiles offer, they offer not to God, but unto demons. When my sister's wedding was there, I could not take part. And that time things really went against me, you know. But, you know, some believers were praying for me. The Lord took me through that. Finally, you know, things became more calm. And now the main struggle came. I'll try to conclude in 5-7 minutes. You know, when I was in Roorkee in the first year, when I got saved, I was again preparing to come back to Bombay. Second attempt for IIT. You know. And that was, because that was my dream, right? That was my dream. And that was my idol of my life. So, I was studying. I was very famous. So everybody knew that, you know, he's going back to Bombay. You know, people thought, you know, he's studying so hard, he has to go back. he will clear the JE next time. So I gave the JE next time, and then it was the summer holidays, I was in Bombay that time. And I think it was just at that time I started attending the assembly in Santa Cruz. So the day of JE results had come, was there, and I went to IIT Powai to see the results. And they were not put up because they were released from Delhi, so they said it will come a day late. So I was going back home, I was walking alone, and I thought, you know, what if I don't get IIT again? I mean, it will be just unbelievable. I won't be able to handle the situation. So I just prayed, you know, I don't know how, but I had a habit of making vows to God, you know, sometimes rash vows. So I made a vow. I said, okay, God, see, let's make a deal. I mean, I'm trying in my own language now. Let's make a deal. You give me IIT, save my face, and I will leave it and go back to Roorkee. I prayed like this, very clearly. Then I reached home. Those days, of course, there were no cell phones. So my mom said, you know, your friend from Delhi called. I had not told my parents also that I had appeared for IIT again. So, and she said, you know, he was saying that you got some rank in IIT. I said, that's not possible, you know, because my maths paper was too bad. I knew I wouldn't get a rank. I had studied hard, but at the same time I wanted a rank, you know. So I called, his name was Rohit, I called him back. I think it was a trunk call or something. He said, Deepak, you got 913 rank. I said, really? And then another fellow called, another friend of mine, he said, Deepak, you got a rank, 913. And they, both of them were in Delhi, so I believe that, you know, both of them are saying the same thing, they're not joking. And then suddenly I realized, oh, I made a promise this night that I have to leave this and go. What do I do now? And I didn't know what to do. I just remembered, you know, these brothers who are preachers, they say, God speaks to us through this word, you know, sometimes very personally. And in my own little faith, you know, I was reading the book of Genesis, that was the first Bible I had bought for rupees 30. It was the open Bible. So I was reading Genesis 31, and I said, okay, God, you speak to me, and you know, the verse was Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar. You know, I used to go to the Bethel assembly, so it was more personal. Okay, God of Bethel is speaking to me. Where you anointed the pillar, where you vowed a vow to me. That same evening I had made a vow. Now arise, get out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. I said, getting out of Bombay, going to the land of my kindred are all in Bombay. So how, I mean, it's confusing. So then I looked up in the Oxford dictionary, kindred means blood relation. Then it struck me, okay, the eternal blood relation which will ever exist is the blood relation through Christ. You know, all the relations here, you know, if they are not saved, you're going to go to different places. And so I got convinced God wants me to go back to Roorkee. So, you know, my dream unfinished, the Lord helped me to keep my promise. I went to Roorkee, you know, and I completed my engineering. And just after my engineering, I got married to a believer girl. I was very sure I wanted to marry a believer girl. And I didn't care about education. The only thing I cared was she should know how to read the Bible. And it was so. She was just passed her 12th class. She was 18 when she got married. I was 23. And our first daughter was born just in the same year. We got married in January. Our daughter Stuti was born in November. And so that's how our life started, you know. But, you know, one thing happened in the year 2000-2001 when, you know, Roorkee was earlier in Uttar Pradesh. It moved to Uttaranchal or Uttarakhand. And then it got the status of IIT, you know. So I automatically became an IITian, you know. So what I'm saying is, if I gave up a little for the Lord saw to it, you know, He converted the entire university to an IIT status. So when brothers said, I'm an IITian, I'm an alumni, you know, I was not, but the Lord made that institute. So in the whole thing, when I look back, I said, you know, Lord is very personal, and He wants to have a real personal relationship with you and me, you know. It's not much of the knowledge, it's your walk with the Lord, you know. And now we have three children, Stuti, Zion and Jishirun. And now I'm settled in Roorkee. I work with a company called Spectral Dynamics, which is in California. And I told them I will not leave Roorkee. They said, okay, no problem, you stay there and work. So, you know, God opened a way there also. So that's my testimony, and whenever you pray for North, do remember me in your prayers, and your prayers will continue to help us.